Okay, our first series of Shurim and Gnevus Das here in Camp Nesora BMP. We are very excited to start this series in Mirza Hashem. We'll see if the venue that Mr. Wallen has suggested to us of outside in the gazebo works. So far, not so good, but let's see if we can get through it. So, in today's sources, this is a series of Shurim, so don't jump on top of me as far as Halacha Maisa just yet. We are starting in understanding what the Isser of Gnevas Das is in this shir, and the very long Gemara Yishur and Chulin Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph and Amud Beis hopefully will explain to you a number of different Gnevas Das cases. And that was the first source of the Gemara. I will quote only some of the Gemara here. Baruch Hashem, many of you looked at it, some of you cheated, that's fine. And it says as follows, Asa Leganev Das Abriyas V'afilu Dato Shal Omei Kochavim. Again, potentially an interesting chiddush over here, and that is that Gnevas Das, which is the issur of stealing the mind of a person, of sleuth-saying, of being saying things that you don't really believe, applies even to non-Jews, the Gemara says. V'hai, d'shmuel, la v'feirish, how do we know it's Itmar? How do we know this? D'shmuel havei ka'avar d'ma'arava, right? Tells the story about Shmuel, hopefully you did this Gemara, and he was going to Marava. Amar le Shmia Psia, Psia, become my Taima, Amar Abaya. So he tells the following story about the kosher chicken and the not kosher chicken. A person is not allowed to go ahead and sell, even to a guy, non kosher meat. Right? Even if it's a trefa. So this is a very interesting Shiloh. Right? Imagine for some reason, this is actually true, there are non-Jews who think that our meats are more chashuv. They're cleaner, they're I don't know what. And they're not Jewish people. And they eat only kosher meat. So the shiloh would be, can you go ahead and sell them the meat as kosher? The way that Schachthausers work is as follows, right? In the Empire Schachthaus, I don't know the percentages, but let's say for argument's sake, I hope this is true, 20, 30, 40% of the chickens that they kill are actually not kosher. Probably more like, 5%, right? They're not kosher. So what do they do with those chickens? So in Eretz Yisrael, you have much more of a problem, right? Because you have maybe Arabs who eat halal, which I don't know if it's a trefa, if they're machmir on that or not. You can sell it to the Arabs, you can sell it to the Christians. But now you know that when you go to Purdue with all the chickens, Purdue says, wait a minute, cotton picking minute over here. I know that you Jews can't eat it. So now instead of getting the normal $5 for a chicken, they're going to get pennies on the dollar. So what if Empire says, these are actually kosher chickens, but we're so overstocked, go ahead and sell them. They say, well, Purdue, they could sell chickens, and say still kosher, whatever. Now, all the firm people won't buy it. It'll be fine. The Gemara says you're not allowed to do that. Why not? Who knows an answer? Why can't you do that, Wallen?
Because he might sell them to a Jew.
Excellent.
With the knowledge that it was...
Right. So that's not really Gnevas Das. If that's the answer of the Gemara, that's not Gnevas Das. That's just, if you will, right? Lifnei Iver lo tetein michshol, that there could be a potential problem over here.
Yeah, but you're telling the person that it's kosher, so he has the thought of it.
Yeah.
He's an onus at this point.
Oh, right, so that's what the Gemara says, that he's an onus, yeah?
I was just going to ask a technical question. The non-Jew, the reason why he would choose a kosher, something kosher about opposed to non-kosher is because the quality of meat and how, the areas where the chickens are raised, etc.
Yeah.
So, they're still getting that. They don't really care.
They're
still getting what they want.
Good.
The healthier aspect.
So there are two aspects over here. The Gnevas Das aspect is that, let's say we know for sure he's not selling it to another Jew. Okay? But what's the problem? The problem is that Gnevas Das. You're stealing his mind because you're telling him that it's a kosher, it's not really kosher. So says Miller, that's not true because maybe we can go ahead and say we are doing what he thinks is kosher. Just we're super machmir, and according to one shita, it wasn't kosher. Maybe you could say that. If we go according to Wallen's interpretation of the Gemara, that the reason is that because that's not Gnevas Das. That's just practicality, that this guy might go ahead and wrap it up and sell it to somebody who's not as firm, and so you're not going to believe this. They had a huge sale in, 7 Mile Market on kosher chickens. Now, obviously, if he's a real religious person, he would not take this chicken because it's not, it's called basar masalach min ha'ayin, fine, okay. But in our case, is that really practical? I'll tell you a horrible story. True story. When this is not a case, what? This is a case of, we should not go in the article book. This is the article book will put me in chayrim if I put this story about the tzaddik in this book. Here's the story. Story is that when we moved from our home in Teaneck, from our apartment in Teaneck to Bergenfield to our home, we decided to, this is not story time. So cover the Torah. So when we moved to our home, we had movers. My sister-in-law had said she had these amazing movers who will move us, literally, you know, a 5-minute drive. So I didn't know what type of people they would be, and they came, and they were African-American Muslim fundamentalists, like real, creative, but huge, these huge guys. Fine. So it comes around lunchtime, and the head guy comes up to me, and he says, "Hey, you're going to give us lunch?" I'm like, "Of course I'm going to give you lunch." He goes, "Please do me a favor. Don't do what all the Jew boys do and buy us pizza. We hate pizza. Buy us some nice deli sandwiches. We love your little kosher deli sandwiches." So I was scared to death of this guy. I said, sure, whatever you want. So I went ahead and I started driving to Noah's Ark to buy the sandwiches. And I'm thinking to myself, what am I, an idiot? I'm going to go ahead and buy each of them a deli sandwich for $14.99. What's the difference? So I got an idea. This is hard to find in Teaneck, but I pulled into a parking lot and there was a non-kosher deli there. Big sign, like Hoppy's, Boar's Head Ham. And I called the number on the sign and I said, "Hi, Shalom Aleichem. I need some sandwiches." And I didn't want to be Meyer Science. So I ordered the sandwiches and I said, "Listen, I know this sounds really strange, but can you come out to my car and I'll pay you?" Okay, Ms. Stumma is still Meyer Science, by the way. I realized that afterwards. They're coming to the car from the place. Okay, not so bad. Fine. So I go ahead and give them all the sandwiches, and I get there, and I think now, you know, pretty smart. So the guy comes up to me, he says, "Listen, I really want to thank you. You know, people don't understand us. We're very similar, you and I." Okay, except for about, 6 feet difference between us. But I said to him, "What do you mean?" He says, "We're machmir." He doesn't say machmir. "We're machmir on halal. And we only eat kosher, and you served us. Thank God you didn't go to a place that sells boar's head ham." And I felt horrible. Right? So that is a little bit of a Kedavis Das, because he's machmir, he's eating a ham sandwich thinking it's pastrami from Noah's Ark.
Did he tell him?
Are you crazy? Koach nefesh, so I didn't tell him. But over here, right, this is a similar case. Again, there are two reasons over here. So that's case number one. With that doesn't help us. And that's why the Gemara has to continue. That's why I showed you the whole depth of the Gemara itself. And then the Gemara gives another case, the case of the drinking wine, or Rabaya. So fine, then we did the Tarnagolet. And it gives different cases, right? Most typical, Tanu Rabbanan, Lo Yumkor Adam, L'Chaveiro Sandal, Shelmata Bechal Chaya Shchuta, right? You lie to him. This is a very typical case, right? And you tell him, you want to buy this Nike? You want this Nike? And the guy's like, "Wow, how's Nike $20? This is great." Right? It turns out it's fake. So that's the case over there. You can't, so the Gemara says, you can't invite somebody to your home, right, knowing that they've just been invited out. Right? We do this on the rabbi's group in Leva Torah. So, right, we said, who invited X? I'm not going to choose any names. Yeah? Who invited X? And like, "Oh, we invited him for Shabbos." Then Rav Hartstein, he's the only one who does this, because he's a tzaddik. He'll call the guy up and say, "Hey, you want to come for Friday night dinner?" And he's like, "Oh, that's perfect. Rabbi Tal invited me for Shabbos lunch." And I go back on the thing and I go, "Oh, shoot, he wrote Friday." And I have to have the guy. That's not going to be stuff. But, right? So maybe we've done this before. Right? That's the typical case of Gnevas Das. Then the Gemara talks about a very interesting case. The Ritva is going to interpret it in a moment. Of a person who comes to a shiva house, kind of funny, and there used to be a minhag in the shiva house that people would bring bottles of wine. I don't really understand this. This sounds more like a wake to me. I don't know if you've ever been to a wake, lagosha minhag. They all get drunk. So he said that he goes ahead and he buys a bottle of wine, and he comes in and he shows the fancy wine. The guy's in Avil, he's sitting shiva, so he doesn't know exactly what's going on. And he says, "Oh, I tricked you, he says. He doesn't say this. It's half full. The bottle of wine is half full. And nobody knows about it except him. And now what happens? Now the shiva house, whenever they drink this wine actually, and he goes ahead and he sees it, and turns out that what? Oh, he says, "What idiot, right? It's oil, right? Or it's half full.
Or half empty.
Or half empty. Depending how you look at life. And he goes out and he says, I wonder who this was. And he doesn't know who it is because it's all different bottles. You're not allowed to do that. Right? It reminds me of the case of the guy who is in college and he's taking a midterm. And it's really hard. And he says, papers down! Papers down! I'm sorry, pens down! Put your pens down! Put your papers down, pens down. And this guy's not finished. He just has to finish a little bit more. He finishes it, right? He finishes it. The professor says, he goes, excuse me. He says, you fail. I told everybody pens down 3 minutes ago. You didn't listen to me, you fail. So he says, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? And the professor's like, no, I don't really give a crap who you are. I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter. He's like, good, in that case, and he puts it in the middle. And he sticks it in there. And obviously he's not going to be able to tell whose it is. Right? So that's a similar case over here. He puts the wine in, you think he's such a chassid, he's a great guy. I don't know who it is. That's another case. Again, the Gemara says, "V'lo yishkor adam l'chaveru shel yayin v'shel shemen," and now it turns out it's wine. So there are many different cases that are discussed here. I don't want to not bore you and go through each case, but some examples that the Gemara gave here in Chulin. Again, this Gemara is extensive. I didn't quote for you the whole Gemara. There's a Gemara in. You don't mind. There's a Gemara in Sadek Gimel, Sadek Dalet. So therefore, I'll just give you the example. Pressing someone to come to a meal when you know that they will say no because they're going away for Shabbos, right? Or something along those lines. Number two, right? This is actually the Gemara says, I didn't quote this case, where somebody opens a new bottle of wine and it's a fancy schmancy bottle of wine. But before you walked in, he had told his wife, honey, I got this great bottle of wine, I'm going to open it now. And then you walk in and go, oh, look who's here. Oh, Zachary Sheffield, I can't believe you came all the way here. Chashem Azachin. Your father lets us drink together. Let's do it. And you're like, Rabbi, this bottle of wine, do you know how much money that bottle of wine is? I say, yeah, I know. So you now think I've opened the wine up for you, and of course, I could care less about you. Next case the Gemara gives. Offering, what do you mean?
You're not telling him anything.
Beautiful. So that's very interesting. So this, to me, is such an interesting topic because it really touches so many different realms. There's a wonderful professor by the name of Aaron Levine who's written extensively on this topic, as many other, and he uses a line which I think is really, really important that will help us define, I think, some level of Gneivas Das. And he writes that the difference would be understood goodwill. Meaning, the Gemara gives a case about Rav Safra, who becomes honest and tells, I forgot who it is, remember the case of Rav Safra and Rava, they're walking and they see Rav Chia, I forgot who it was, and he says, wow, you came all the way out here to greet me? And Rav Safra, the honest one, says, no, I didn't. We were walking anyway to lunch. I didn't come here to see you. I could care less about Camp Masora campers coming onto the camp. I don't care. So the Rishonim ask, why didn't Rava say anything? Why only Rav Safra? So the Gemara says, Rava didn't say anything. You know why? Exactly what Professor Levine says. It's not my... excuse me for being a little bit funny. It's not my fault if he's an idiot. He misinterpreted. What do you think? Two great rabbis are coming out to meet this little pisher rabbi? That never would happen. If you're, you know, so high in yourself that you think that, that's not good. However, if it's an understood, right, it's understood that that's what I'm saying. Again, the difference would be the following. I go ahead and invite you, so it's understood that you must be inviting me because you really want me to come. However, the difference is that if I come to the hospital and I'm visiting grandma, and on my way out I see that you're there, and you say, oh my God, I can't believe I came all the way here to, that you came all the way here to see me. So there you might not have to say anything because that's his fault that he was stupid enough to think that you actually would come visit him. Again, unless it should be an obvious case, it's your best friend or something like that. Another case is offering things that you don't really have to people who you know will refuse. You come to my house, right, and I want to show you how rich and fancy I am because I live in the five towns, and what do I say to you? No, you want? I know you like sushi. You want some sushi? And I know you hate sushi. So you're like, wow, I can't believe you offer me sushi. Right? Or I say, ooh, would you like some Grey Poupon? Like, wow, I didn't know. You know, would you like some Smarties? Whatever, I don't know. And you're like, oh, no, I'm sorry. Right? Or you go to a person, I don't know if you guys started to realize here. I don't know if you know what's going on in campus, but I'll give you some interesting gossip that we shouldn't put on that we know already. That you know. So a lot of people on Camp Misora last year did not look the way they look this year. So there is a cult here in Camp Misora that's on a diet called Metafast, right? A lot of people, I could show you pictures of what they used to look like, including the director of the camp. It's remarkable. They've lost literally, collectively, probably about 1,000 pounds. It's not a joke. It's amazing. So now you know these people, they're going to go to lunch now, they don't eat, right? So now Hartstein walks in and he's got his Zamek's Meltaway cake for Shabbos. And he wants to eat it himself because he's a chazer schnazer and he wants to eat the whole thing. So what does he do? He goes to this one and that one and all the people that's on Metafast. Would you like a piece? Would you like a piece? I know you're not going to. And then you walk away saying, wow, Hartstein's a really nice, hopefully. Or you walk away going, why did he give me the time? I love Meltaway cake. So, right, you spoke about the case that we gave in the Gemara, walking into the Shiva house, you know, with the oil instead of the wine, or worse, it's water, whatever. Selling the shoe made of leather, shchita, from a healthy animal, because it's gonna feel different. Selling a barrel of oil, which in fact, it's not. I mean, the typical case is not just the Gemara, the Rambam gives, and the most typical case I think of, this happens all the time, I don't know if you know, here in Israel, there, in Israel, so you go to on Fridays, you go to a Merkaz, you go to Ben Yehuda, you go to Machane Yehuda, and you get strawberries. You say, I want a kilo of strawberries, and they have them set out, beautiful, already made. Why do they have it like that? Because the beautiful strawberries are on the top, and then you come home and you go, what? And the bottom is disgusting. That's typical Ganevas Das. So that's the second thing. So now that we understand some of the cases that we saw, I want to move on now to hopefully the source sheet that you hopefully did already. And that's the Chidushi Eritva. Source number one on your second sheet there. The Ritva says the following thing. This Ritva is a Ritva that I quoted that quotes that this is an Isser Min HaTorah. That's the first thing I want to explain to you. What is the Isser? So he quotes this is the shame of the Baal Yitosas. The Reim says the same thing. And he says something very fundamental in the underlying part. Kosvu, Ktsas Rabbo Seinu B'Shem Baal Yitosas. Shehu Isser Torah. Dinaf galan miksiv lo tignovu. Right? The pasuk. We have two psukim in the Torah that say lo tignov and lo tignovu. Bechasa besefa dekra ish be'amitu me'agoi. Here, the pasuk says it's part of the Isser lo tignovu. Tignovu is plural. Where in Parshas Yisrael says lo tignov, what is that talking about? They don't know what Ganeva's talking about. Most people don't know this. It's talking about a specific type of Ganeva in Parshas Yisrael. Yeah, it's talking about kidnapping, right? So a lot of times, the rabbi will be giving a drasha, and he'll be upset at a community, and he'll point to the Aron Kodesh, and he'll say, and you people are stealing and doing all these things, look what it says, lo tikno! The guy in the back should raise his hand and go, that's talking about kidnapping, rabbi, that's not that one. You know, get another Sarah Sederbrus, it's not that one. Lo tiknovu is plural. You shouldn't be stealing. What kind of stealing? This type of stealing. And that's what the Ritva says, and he paskins the halacha, that's the Isser. This is not the same. Not everybody says this. So, again, the reason why I brought the Ritva as well, he defines the cases a little bit better of exactly what's going on. That concept, by the way, of the guy, I think is a chiddush in itself. We might assume and to say, for example, by the laws of interest, that a goy is not allowed to steal, you're allowed to steal from a goy, is it considered stealing or not? So that's a whole Pandora's box again of understanding what exactly is the Isser of Ribbis and why it's different for goyim and non-goyim, and maybe in the case of Chil Hashem, right, we won't allow it. And we have something called Talos Akam, for example. Talos Akam is a case where a non-Jew gives you back too much change, for example. So Lach Lamaisa, right, not today's shir, but you wouldn't have to return the money. All the poskim, the Shulchan Aruch discusses this, and others, says, no, you should return the money because of the chashash of Chil Hashem. Right? When it's an obvious thing, you went to Walmart, that's not Tolos Akam, right? This happens a lot. Right? You go to your car, and you take all the bags out, and you see that stuck underneath was those earphones that you didn't pay for. That's Gneva Mamash. So I always have this funny minute I like to do when that happens, is that I go back into the store and say, excuse me, I stole this item. I would like to pay for it now. And they laugh, haha. But this happens all the time. That's not talking about that. That's Geneva. That's for sure. But what happens? For some reason, you read your long receipt. He said, that's so weird. They didn't charge me for this item. Right? But that's their toast. So Chil Hashem says, demands you to go ahead. When it comes to the laws of interest, that's a little bit different. Because those laws we're machmir on our, if you will, we're machmir on ourselves for. In that a Jew is supposed to look at every Jew as their brother. The example I like to give is as follows. If I'm not mistaken, Rav Machlis, the great Rav Machlis, I think I gave him the example, he gave me the example. Sometimes when it's so good, you pretend like you said it. So I'm not sure who said it. So the example is as follows. And I think it's a very key example, right? You hit it big, okay? And you bet on, you know, let's say you live in England, that's what it's called?
Yeah.
UK?
Britain.
Yeah. Britain, you live in Britain. And you do a big, this is what I wanted to do, I'm serious now. I wanted to do this last week. I said, this would be a great time to start buying the British pound. Why? Because the British pound is going to go up. It went down like crazy. It's going to go up. Come on, everybody knows that. Or even invest in the stock market. What do you call it? The FTSE or something?
It's already gone up.
It doesn't make sense. Okay, but let's say I did it on Friday.
Yeah.
So that would be the smartest thing to do. Right? So you go ahead and you make your big investment in the FTSE, right? And now all of a sudden you're 20 years old and you're a multimillionaire. Your dad comes over to you and says, Mazel Tov. Son, I kind of need your help, actually. I didn't tell you this, you know, but now that you're a millionaire, you know, it's really rough for me. The bills are piling up. I can't do it. So can you do a big help for me, my son, and can you lend me some money? Right? Can you lend me money? So what do you say to him? You say, Dad, I can go ahead and lend you money, but, you know, the banks are charging 8% ribis. I only charge you 2.5% because you're my dad. I love you. Does everybody think that there's a problem with that? So I think most people would say, yeah, he's your father. What are you, an idiot? Right, forget about that. Forget about for a moment the laws of ribbis. So the reason why ribbis is also is because everybody's like your father. Everybody's like your brother. You wouldn't charge your father ribbis? Can't charge a fellow Jew ribbis. But that's not the same thing as a non-Jew. And that's why that case, I just wanted to point out why it's a little bit different in our case. Now, if we move on to the next source, the explanation of the case, I just wanted to point out the Marsha over here, which hopefully you saw as well. So the Marsha says, what? They give different explanations. I think I gave most of the explanations of what is the base Ovel, about the Yayin. They used to have this custom of bringing in the base Ovel, and then the Sandal, right? That it's you think it's one material, but it's not one material, and that makes the person upset. We saw already the Ritva that said the Yisra comes of Lo Tiknovu, but now let's look at the Smak, the Sefer Mitzvos Katan, which you saw as well. First it says, Shelo Tiknovu Mamam Dechsev Lo Tiknovu, right? Ganav. Zeh Anote Machmas Adam. V'yesh Geneva Acheret She'osru Chachamim Kimom Genevas Das Aser Afilu Das Shel Akum is Aser. Right? Mipnei Reim Reyonam Rechamim Lo Tiknovu. So he goes along the same lines of the Ritva and says that the Isser is Lo Tiknovu. V'chein, the Sefer Yoreim here, also quoted here, says Lo Tiknovu, right? So it's the same thing. V'nirali mefarsh mamon, this is the Yoreim. V'mamon lema'et nifashot aval genevas das abrius mimidei mamon havei bechlal mamon. The over al Lo Tiknovu. So far, pretty consistent. Everybody holds that it's the Isser of Lo Tiknovu. However, that's not agreed by everyone. The next source that we quoted here is the Smag. The Smag quotes the Tosefta in Baba Kama, which we'll see. You see in source number 4. Shlosh Genevas Heim Harishon Shekulam Hu Genevas Das Abrius. Right? So, There is a very strange, very, very strange Tosefta in Baba Kama, I think, saying that Genevas Das is the worst out of all them. So Smak quotes that, Shekulam Genevas Das Abrius. Quotes the Yoreim, and along the same lines. So my thought question is, why is it so bad? Why does the Tosefta say this line? Right? So until now, we've learned that the Isser is lo tignovu. We'll see the Shari Tshuva. The Shari Tshuva disagrees and says the Isser is over his onus tevarim. Doesn't really matter. All is Shari Deraisa. I didn't quote it on this sheet. I think you'll see it tomorrow. Shari Tshuva says the following. This is the Rabbeinu Yonah. Oh, I'm sorry. It was quoted before. It says like this: Also, the Gnov Das Mabrius Afilu Das Nochri. The Azer Chomer Etzel Chomim. Doesn't matter who it is, because of the pasuk of Midvar Shechar Tirchak. And the Sefer Michos Gadol says, we just read, the Yadua She'enu Makabu Misarivlo Ulechol the Yadua. Right, and you know what it is. That's Onos Devar. So we have three potential shitas. Just to summarize the shitas. Number one, all say Isser Doraisa, the Ritva, the Urayim, the Toisvas, who says the Isser is Lo Tiknovu in the plural. The Shari Tshuva says it's Onos Devarim. Makes sense. And then we have the last source that we just saw, which is the Smak, who says it is the Isser of... Let me just make sure I didn't make a mistake. This is hard when you don't have a shtender. The Isser involved over here, again, he quotes that there are three types of Geneva that's discussed. The worst of those Geneva is Geneva of Geneva Stas. And where does that come from? This is based on the Svarno, Onos Devarim. Where the Shari Tshuva, I misspoke, says Midvar Shechar Tirchak. Three possibilities. Even Midvar Shechar Tirchak Onos Devarim, or Geneva Stas is part of Lo Tignovu. Uvechol Zos, I ask you the question over here. Why is this so bad? I want you to look at the Tosefta here in source number 4 and says, Shiva Ganavim, Harishon Bekulim Geneva Stas. What's so bad? How can you tell me it's worse than going to somebody's house and robbing from them? Very good. Yeah, so that's one possibility. Is that it's really bad because they don't know what you've done. It's even worse than that. You've stolen their mind, if you will. You make them think something about you that's not really true. You like them, you're whatever it might be. And you're screwing up their psyche. Yeah, I think that's a good possibility. Anything else? Why is it so bad? It's not Geneva Mamish. I didn't steal anything physical. Any other possibilities?
I like sex.
What?
I like sex. You definitely potentially gain something in the long run. Like, for example, the case where you like got the good wine.
Yeah.
And the person comes in, the person like, oh, I should... Partson really goes out of the way for me. I should go out of my way.
Excellent, Miller. That's what I think the other possibility is.
Yeah, you want someone to go out of the way for you.
Oh, I always am over in Geneva's eyes. But what we're saying over here is exactly that. The second interpretation, and Zach, you're correct in what you said, but Miller's interpretation is beautiful. Because according to what Miller says, that's exactly it. It is actually a form of Geneva, because now I'm going to give you more because I thought you offered me more. Right? Let's say I'm a big loser, let's say. Okay? And nobody ever invites me for Shabbos. And so I don't invite people to my house because I don't like to have people over because I'm a loser. So I invite somebody over to my house knowing that they're not going to come. And then he invites me back. So there has been some physical loss here, right? Or better yet said, right? I do something seemingly really nice to you even though I was in the area. And you're so excited about it that Shabbos comes, holy cow, you send me the biggest basket of chocolate. Da, 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 da. That's a problem. Because I've actually physically stolen. It's a funny thing. Think about it. I didn't steal from you, but you just spent $100 on a chocolate basket for me, thinking that I was the one who did X, Y, and Z, or visited you in the hospital, when I just happened to be in the hospital anyway. That's why it's very bad. The Shulchan Aruch Harav has a huge chiddush. This is the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. And in his Shulchan Aruch, he has a chiddush nifla ad me'oid, which I think is a huge chiddush. And that is Chol Ma V'chein. This is source number 5. V'chein Chol Mar Ma Sheba Olam Asur B'Mekach U'Memkar Afilu L'Nochri Kegon Im Yeshomun B'Mekach Tzarech Lo Dildo. Right? His typical case, a very important case. is that a person is, we're going to start doing that, by the way, because I don't want you guys to leave. So a person has a typical case, and he's over on, a person is over on Gnevas Das. A person's over in Gnevas Das, says the Shulchan Aruch Harav. What's the typical case? Even if it's a Nachri, right? You have an item that you sell somebody, and it has a blemish, and you don't tell them, right? You sell a house. This comes up all the time. It's a very difficult shaila. You sell your house. So when I bought my house, I remember, I wasn't smart. It's not the usual Daniel Hartstein, and in this case. And it was pouring rain on the day that we were going to inspect it. And she called in the morning. She says, "I am so sorry. My daughter's sick, and I have to go visit my granddaughter, watch my granddaughter." And I should have thought, obviously, she canceled it because it was raining. There must be something wrong with the house, and I didn't. So then the inspector came. And, he gave an okay report. Then the first rain, when we moved in, we realized why she didn't let us come on the day of rain. There was actually a leak coming from the house that we had to fix. That's Gnevas Das. You're selling an item and not, again, you don't have to reveal every single thing, but you do. Right before we moved to Eretz Yisrael, some nice guy decided, literally, a month before we moved, on the Sunday I was showing my car to be sold to other people, he smashed into my car after shul. It was a very strange situation. He just backed right into my car. Like, I don't know if your hospital ever got into an accident. I saw it happening. Like, he's going backwards. I'm like, "Dude, what are you doing? What?" Fine. So I had to quickly get it fixed. And anybody that saw the car, that I waited till the next week. So I said to them, I said, "I just got into a car tonight. It was totally fixed." So the interesting part is the guy that actually bought my car said to me, "You know, I have to tell you, the fact that you were honest with me is the reason why you're going to get, I'm buying your car." Because the second I drove into my car place, that's exactly what the guy said to him. The guy said to me, "I smell fresh paint." He got into a car accident. Did he tell you? If he didn't tell you, don't buy the car. So that's true. Ending story, by the way, is that this guy, actually, I kept in touch with him. So he told me the car was destroyed by Sandy. He said it literally went away on a boat called the Camry. And they couldn't find it for some time. So, lo aleinu. But let's just end off the important Shulchan Aruch Harav. Be aser min haTorah k'moshen esbara b'hilchos gezela v'yafilu l'gnov das davar shaloyinov hefstein hanachri aser min divrei sofrim. This is something that you is important when we're doing a shir that you should catch, because here the Shulchan Aruch Harav said something absolutely fundamental, and you probably all missed it, also because it was the last tshuva. Even if it's not in a business transaction, it's still called an Isser Medivrei Sofrim. What is an Isser Medivrei Sofrim, guys? Come on. Stop looking at my kid. What is the Isser Medivrei Sofrim? No. What's the Isser Medivrei Sofrim? Is it Isser Doraisa, Isser Durabanan? What's Divrei Sofrim? No. Durabanan. So there's a huge Kiddush over here. Send the Shulchan Aruch Harav! You missed it, boys! Come on, wake up! You missed it, that's why we do Marmakobos in the morning! Send the Shulchan Aruch Harav that if it's a non-case of Hefsek, there's no actual loss here. Says the Shulchan Aruch Harav, it's an Isser Midrabban. Comes up a chiddush lahalacha according to Shulchan Aruch Harav. I'm not telling you we passing like this. That if a person is stealing, a afilu lignov dato hadavar shelo yigahefsei, there's no actual loss. That is not called an iser midorais. It's only midorabanan. That's a big chiddush. Big chiddush. Let's summarize and review. We started off with the Gemara that gave us at least 5, 6, 7 cases of what Gnevas Das is. We try to understand what exactly the Isser is, and we saw differences. Three possibilities. What are the three possibilities, Rabbi Sai? I'm now asking a question. There are three possibilities of what the Isser Derais is. Come on. Gnevas Das. Yes, that's the word I should have used. Is over on three possibilities. It's an Isser Derais. Everybody agrees. Three possible ways. It's because of the pasuk that says lo tiknovu in plural, or midvar shechet tirchak, or onos tavara, all the surah daraisa. We saw a chiddush in the Shulchan Aruch Harav that maybe it doesn't apply if there's no hefsed of mamon. Maybe it's only in midrabanan. We saw a tosefta that says that it's so strict that it's the worst of all stealings. And we try to opine that the reason why that was because of the fact that, number one, you're just not being a nice guy and he doesn't know that you're stealing from him, as opposed to somebody who physically steals something, or you're actually stealing from him because later on he's paying you back for something that you actually never did.
Isn't the Sefer Mitzvah say it's also Durabana?
Sefer Mitzvah's Gadol? Where do you read that? Sorry?
It's bold. Shasra
Katan. What? Sefer Mitzvah's Katan? Source number three. Sha'asru Chachamim Kigon. Sha'asru Chachamim. Ah, very good. So according to the Smag, except he counts this as Mitzvah Reish Samach Bet, he says like this: Lo Tignovu V'Yatam Lo Ket. No, I'm sorry. Right. V'Yesh Kineva. Very good. Acheres Sha'asru Chachamim Kineva Das Asru Afilo Des Akam Asru. It's over the rubric, meaning Chachamim had to define Lo Tignovu. So what the Smak did is that he picked what would be a Mitzvah. I think I'm interpreting this right, that they took what is in the rubric of Lo Tignovu. When we talk about 613 Mitzvahs, which obviously, if you know anything about 613 Mitzvahs, the Smak, they all count it differently, is because when you have an Israel like Lo Tignovu, how many things do you include in there? So here he says, you're correct, that the Isser of Lo Tignovu is an Isser of stealing. Thank you for helping me. But it's only an Isser Durabana. So the Smag counts Lo Tignovu as a umbrella Isser. What exactly is it? It's the stealing that we know, the physical stealing. But says the Smag that it's only an Isser Midurabanan. She'asru Chachamim. And therefore that's why I bolded it. Thank you for catching that. Right? So we have five potentials. I'll let you go to lunch in a second. We have five potentials here. It's not so, I heard it's big ZD, it's not so good. So we have five potentials here. It is?
Yeah.
Oh. We have five potentials here. Five potentials. Potential number one is it's an Isser Daraisa under three possibilities. Onos Tavarim, Mitvar Shechatircha, Lo Tignovu as an Isser Daraisa, or an Isser Darabanan because it's an Asmachna, or the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe's Chiddush, that it might not apply, maybe only by Goyim, but it might not apply in a case where there's not actually physical any loss going to happen at any point. Tomorrow we will see the second step in Gnevas Das, in my opinion a little bit more fun. We'll get to see actually practical cases, and knowing what we know today, we'll see how exactly we pass.